And welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting in for the rest of the band. The rest of the band is out for the summer, so instead we've recruited Chef Keely Cheshire from Italians up the road on North Mesa. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back.
And Science Studio co-host Russ Chinelli, top of the afternoon, and welcome to you.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Russ, let's introduce our guests this afternoon, because I think we're going to have a good time talking about culinary arts and the art of eating.
Yes, and I would like to introduce to our audience Chef Denise Daniels. She's a culinary arts instructor. Welcome to the show, Denise.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I think that many people in El Paso don't realize that we have a very, very fine school of cooking here, and we would like you to tell us more about that and introduce your students.
Well, wonderful. Well, El Paso Community College, I'm from El Paso, and I moved back here 2 years ago, and to be honest, This being my first semester or second semester teaching, I was not aware of the community college and its great facility that we have until last fall when I was able to visit the campus. So we are a college that offers associate programs in restaurant management, the baking and pastries, and also culinary arts.
And right now you're teaching a particular course?
Yes, I'm teaching what we consider one of their intro courses. It's their intro to professional cook and meal service. So they are utilizing our real restaurant that is self-run by the students.
Okay, and please introduce your students to us.
All right. Well, for our summer semester that I have Miss Marlene Lopez, and I have Hector Villalobos.
Welcome to the show here, and tell us a little bit about your experience and why you're in this program and what you hope the outcomes are and so on.
A job.
What?
Well, thank you for having me here. It's an awesome program. I say if your chef coat is not dirty, you're not doing work. But it's really good hands-on and how the restaurant is, and you get to feel life, you know, how it is and how people need to be served. And it's really awesome.
What made you choose this field?
I love to cook. I love to cook for my kids. And it's just great. And they love to cook, too. So someday, hopefully, they'll get into the culinary arts program as well.
Is it your hope that sometime you'll have a fantastic restaurant somewhere? Or?
I do. I'm thinking of maybe getting some type of restaurant and just succeeding from there.
Be careful what you wish for.
Right. Exactly. I'm all in.
I haven't done it, but I know what you're talking about.
Okay, Hector, how about you?
First of all, thank you for having me here. I wasn't even realized that, like Chef has said, that El Paso had the culinary program until about a year ago when I was going for my physical therapy program. And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be fun. Let me just go hang out, because I've been cooking since I was like 13. I wanted to just better myself. And I mean, it's always been a passion, you know, not just a mission, but a passion just to, you know, really feel and work with food and see people happy once you create something. And that instant moment of happiness that, like, your hard work is instant gratification of, like, someone's, they could be having a bad day and you get a good souffle or something. They're like, ah, like, nothing else matters, you know? And that's, like, more like for a personal reward for myself. But the program, it's a facility, is an amazing facility. It's the instructors there come from all different walks, and they have really good knowledge. But it's not about only the instructors that teach you or the knowledge that they have, but it's other students, because we have students that work at different restaurants throughout El Paso. So it's not only what the curricular is to teach you, but other, like, oh, well, this is how we make our sauce at this restaurant, or, you know, this is how they're teaching you, but at this restaurant we have a utensil that, you know, something as simple as a spoon or the back of a butter knife or something, like, this is how we carve. It's like, oh, wow, that's much easier, you know? And it's not just the curriculum that you learn from, it's the people that you learn from, students as well as the instructors. So just the environment in itself is amazing.
And your goal is to restaurateur, just to be a chef, or?
In the beginning, I had thought about that. I mean, I already had, about 4 years ago, I had my restaurant laid out, had cloths and linen in my head, plates, everything, about 5 years ago, just for myself. But right now, I'm actually just doing a personal catering, and just I think it's more intimate, you in someone's home cooking for somebody and saying, look, I don't need a grade A kitchen to produce grade A food. Like, I'm
that,
in your own.
I did that for a long time. That's how I started off for many years. I was a caterer and a personal chef for various families. And I agree with you. It's fun because you know what they like. You go to the store, you buy the things, you make them happy, you see the smiles on your face, you go home and you're done. Yeah. You open a restaurant, it's a big, it's, you know, oh, I have to pay bills and tax.
And, it's a and big liabilities.
Yeah, liabilities. And liabilities. But I just want to say to you that, you know, it is true. It's an art. And, you know, kitchens are tough. You know that. You know, we all know that. And it's hardcore, and it's a lot of hours and a lot of sweat. But at the end of the night, when you have at least four or five of your customers that congratulate you and tell you how wonderful your food is, you know, nothing else matters.
Right.
So I can't paint, although I painted the restaurant recently. but I do consider us to be artists. And I don't think we necessarily do it for the financial gain, although sometimes it would be nice to be paid. but I think that we do it because it's our satisfaction.
Passion.
Yeah. It's a passion.
I think that's why the emphasis is on culinary arts, because
it's an art.
You know, anybody with a paintbrush doesn't mean you're creating a painting. So just because you have a frying pan doesn't mean you know how to cook. So it really is an art, like something as simple as boiling an egg. You know, I had an experience yesterday trying to boil a dozen eggs, and I've never really had to boil a dozen eggs because I wouldn't eat a dozen eggs in one sitting. But here we are trying to do our prep, and I'm like, so I would do one egg this way. How do I do a dozen eggs and make them come out the same way? So it's a constant learning experience. Yes. For something that you already know how to do in your home, but to learn how to do it in a grander scale for a lot more people, it's
well, not only that, depending on what station you're on, you know. You're on the station, you have a busy Friday night. I usually tend to head for Pasta Station. That's where I like to be. And because I'm the chef, I decide. But it's like you suddenly get 17 tickets in front of you. So you're not making one boiled egg and one plate of pasta to feed, you know, your family or whatever.
Yeah.
You're making 17 different things for 17 different people. And then you always get that person says, oh, and no onions in mine and
right.
No
yeah.
Spicy in mine. And let's split that one pasta plate by four. And I'm like, really, dude? This is Friday. I don't need this.
So you want one noodle?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that what you
it's
want?
Like, I have to split 7 ounces into four servings. How the hell am I going to do that?
Well, let me ask you a question. You all said that you get satisfaction when you make something, give it to the customer, and they get a big grin on their face. What happens if they go, ugh? Does that ever happen?
Yes.
That definitely does happen a lot.
It's
a hard. Lot.
Well, not a lot, but I'm pretty sure at other industries there is people that have dislikes of the food. What can you do? Just say, you know what? Can I get you something else? Another choice?
No, that's why we have waiters. Because yeah, you don't want to hear what the chefs are saying.
Right.
You don't want to hear what the kitchen's saying.
Yeah, for an example, this weekend I just did a 5-course meal for my family so I can practice for my lucky them, right? I get to practice cooking for them.
They're probably extremely critical.
Yeah, yeah. And so I created to see what my limitations were as far as my timing. And so I put out a 5-course meal for them, and I made a pineapple sorbet with candied ginger, and I did fajitas, and I did shrimp egg rolls, and I made all my sauces from scratch. And I'm doing all my prep work the day before, right? And so I first three courses were on point. Everything was on good. And then I come to plain the fajitas, and I did my corn and black bean and everything, right? And I'm like, I'm falling behind. Like, this is not very easy.
You were lucky you didn't have the expo chef going, where's my corn and beans?
Yeah, so like, here I have, like, 8 family members, and they're sitting, and I have, like, one plate, and I'm carving, and I'm grilling, and I'm plating. I'm like, this is taking way too long. I was like, that's why we have servers, because and the grill, because I'm grilling and plating and serving and bussing everything for 8 people. And so it's going back to your question about, like, how does it feel when people say they don't like your food? For me, it's so built into us to give people praise and like, oh, that was good, thank you. But the first question I always ask people when I cook is, what did you not like about my food? Because if you tell me what I did good isn't going to help me improve personally. I want to know where my mistakes were. So, yes, it is cringing.
You don't say to them, what do you know about
food? No, see, that's me. What do they know anyway?
Because the thing is everyone's palate is different. You can make the same recipe for everybody, but, you know, it's the passion is right before you serve a table full of people. The moment before everybody takes a bite, everyone's on the same page. That's, for me, the anticipation. That's the thrill, is right before that first bite. Because after that, everyone has more salt, less salt, more pepper, less pepper. Everything's different. But it's that moment of art, like, you created something, and that moment will never be the same.
See, my thing is, it's like I had a chef's table last night, and a gentleman came in, and he said, I want tableside. You have to do tableside. Haven't done it for a long time. I have no problem. I can do it. And I actually had fun doing it. It was a Wednesday night. We're kind of quiet. It's like, oh, it can make my life even more interesting. And so I'm doing tableside, and I took everything out, and I made everything look pretty, and I did my whole thing because I still remember how to do it. And I had that moment of everybody took that first bite, and everybody smiled. Nobody added salt, pepper, or anything. And then the one guy from Dallas said, this is the best chupino I've ever eaten.
They didn't put ketchup on it?
No, and they didn't ask. But that was the whole thing. And you know what? I walked away from the table. I didn't care what was going to happen after that. I had my satisfaction. I was happy. They were happy. It was a good night. But it's true. It's like you wait for that first bite and see that smile.
Chef Denise, let me ask you a question here. Now, how long does it take them to – do they get a degree, or do they have to cook for 10 years before you let them out? Or?
No. Well, there we have the associate's program. So typically if the students take the amount of classes that they should in each semester, they should finish the program in at least 2 years.
Okay. And what kind of courses do they take?
I mostly teach. They can take an array of courses. What I do like is that depending, no matter what their degree is in, whether it's the restaurant management program, the pastry, if that's what their focus is, or culinary, they do have to take at least some basics in. So let's say that I just wanted to do culinary arts degree. They do have to take basic pastries or some of the restaurant managed classes just to get a whole feel. And I think that is definitely beneficial to them because in the restaurant, especially if you want to own a restaurant, you need to know all aspects of everybody's job and what position so you know how to properly run it. And one of the things I do like at the program is that they wash their own dishes because they, I don't think that you understand as a cook that they do a lot of the grunt of the work. And so they can see how it feels to when they have to wash a burnt pan that they burnt stuff on. And they can see how it feels to when they are making sugar or something out of sugar for pastries, how to properly do that. So roughly to get back on track, but 2 year program.
And being a restaurant owner, I can say that the person that is least likely to show up for work on a Saturday night is the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And so, therefore, if I'm not able to wash dishes, there's a problem.
Well, I know that's why you called me up and I came in a couple of
days. Yeah, to pay for your meal, right?
Getting it back. Well, that's really interesting. I know that I wanted to bring this up because there was a show on recently called The Kitchen from Hell or something like that. Was it the rest?
Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen. Did you guys all watch that?
Chef
I
Ramsay.
Do. I love it. I like love Ramsay.
And awesome. So all that kind of stuff happens in the kitchen, that or is that extreme?
That's extreme. That doesn't happen out with us. We're
yet.
Our mentors are more, they'll show us, you know, where we did wrong.
Remember, they're chefs in training.
Right.
So when you're chefs in training, you kind of say, you push them in the right direction.
Right, right.
If you come to me and you say, you know what, I'm a chef and I've got this and I'm able to do that, and then I get you on a Friday night and you're backing up, why should I be nice to you? Mm. You know, that's right. I mean,
right.
Well, I remember you saying that, you know, I'm doing the noodles today.
Yeah, I think Rams is a little extreme, but it does get, the kitchen does get uptight, you know. And
but some of those chefs are executive chefs and they know the kitchen and they know what they're doing. So that's why he yells at them the way he does, because they're supposed to know.
Do you watch the plates coming back in to see what's on them?
Always.
Yeah, always.
Yes. Always.
I do.
And can you give me some examples of somebody bringing everything back? Or
Actually, today we had service, and we're on the same team, and we're on the mise en salads, and one of the servers came back with a complete plate up of salad. We did a caprese salad, and I was like, they didn't like the salad? I mean, it's lettuce and tomato and cheese. Like, what was wrong with it? Like, oh, no, it's to go. It's a to go. And I was like, that instant when I saw him come back, and I was like, why didn't I know that? It was that first thing, like, kind of a little gut-wrench, like, something so simple and we messed it up. Like, what did we do wrong? And they're like, oh, no, it's a to-go. I was like, oh, okay. So that made – but it was like a complete setup. I was like, was there something on there wrong or what did we do? Or so, yeah, you kind of – I mean, I think any professional, if you do something with enough pride, if it doesn't come out to perfection or at least desirable, then you should be hurt. You should in any profession that you choose.
Okay, there are two camps that I know of when it comes to eating that I can remember. One is my family's thing, which is clean everything off your plate.
And then the other part, because they're starving children in the world.
They're starving around the world.
And then the other part is my grandmother who would say, always leave something on the plate. And I'm not sure why that came from that. So what's right, what's wrong? And if you see something...
If you're hungry, eat it all. Okay. And if it's good, eat more.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that was my
thing. What I did with my grandmother, I bought a little box with a foreign address on it.
Yeah, the doggy bag was always...
We have a trash can for the food, like next to the bus buckets. And if I'm too busy in the kitchen to be able to control what's going on, at the end of the night, my thing is I'll go and look in the trash can to see exactly how much food has been thrown away. And if it's never – well, the joke was my daughter got a dog, and she said, Mom, just bring over home the leftover food from the restaurant for the dog. And I said, if I do that, the dog will be dead in 3 days. Because luckily enough, I don't get a lot of leftover, so I'm happy to say that. But, you know, I agree with you. It's if food comes back and there's more than half, mm-hmm. I need a good explanation. And that's when I run out to the table and I say, you know, please explain what's the problem. Today at lunch I had a problem. Very simple. I serve a carbonara the way they do in Rome, because that's how I was trained, with the raw egg yolk in the middle. And it went out to a client. They freaked. They nearly had a heart attack, you know, raw egg. And I said, well, if you mix it in, the heat of the pasta cooks the egg. No, it was a whole breakdown, which is fine. But then I took my server on one side and I said, you have to explain to the client, if they order a carbonara, how it's presented, how it's served. And what happens a lot of time there's a lot of, how can I say, battles between front of house and kitchen. Because we know what we're doing is perfect.
Always. Okay?
They're the ones that mess up. Yeah. So it's like, if a client isn't happy, it's not our fault, it's their fault. So, you know, people tend to think that we work hard in the kitchen, but it's also the servers to go out and communicate to the client, you know, this comes like this, this comes like that. You don't want spice. You want spice. How do you want it? You know, what can we do to improve it? We can't be in two places at once. So it's very difficult.
And it's something so simple as just communication, just a simple conversation like we're doing right now. It's simple conversations go so far as like, what did you need or do you need something? A simple question, like you talk to people all the time, is, you know, obviously a little more professional. You're talking to customers, but it's, you know, one question can make their whole experience either really good or really bad if you didn't ask it.
Exactly.
You know, and it's just, it's not only them servers to them, but us to servers, and vice versa.
And also in the kitchen. I try to maintain communication in the kitchen, because it's kind of like, how many minutes on this? How many minutes on that? Let's get this out. I don't know if you guys were in that situation
where you have
times. Mm-hmm. Times are tough.
We rotate also at the school. We become servers, and we also become the cooks.
Oh, okay. That's
good. So we get everything.
So you get a little bit of everything.
Of everything, yes.
That's good.
Okay, you know, the coordination is important. You know, the wine comes at the same time or just before the main, whatever.
Right.
And sometimes that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's when you throw plates against the wall and tell the server it's all their fault. And what were they thinking? And couldn't they have put a hold on that ticket? And how long have you worked for me? Do you still want a job?
Are you related to Ramsay?
Yeah, I've been asked that. I have the same accent, right?
the school environment, it's the way the program is set up. You can either be a pastry chef, culinary, or restaurant management, and you have basics that go all across the board. Nice. And then at a certain point, you have to choose which one you're going to actually major in. But what I really like about the curriculum is they teach you little things that you don't really put too much thought into. Like, if you're going to open up your restaurant, how would you order salt? And you're like, okay, well, I'd order a bucket of salt. I'm like, okay, well, how much does it cost you? Okay, well, how much are they using? Well, how much are you using each recipe? It's like, well, how do you measure a pinch? How do you measure a shaving? How do you measure? And it really puts, like, everyday use into, like, really cognitive, you know, situations. Like, wow, if I was in charge of ordering food, how would I order salt and what size? And there's certain program, certain classes that you have to come up with your whole menu, every item, price out every item.
You know, that makes me think, did you ever run out of something that was critical in the middle of serving?
Absolutely. It's happened to me. I mean, inventory, you're saying, I mean, hopefully they do teach you inventory.
Yeah, definitely.
I do the inventory and I know my parts. And, you know, I have tried to have some of my cooks work with me on that. And I'm working with a guy right now, actually, and trying to teach him. And it's like banging my head against a brick wall because it's like if you don't know your parts, you can't figure out your inventory. You have to have your food costs. I mean, food costs is, you have to keep it at a percentage.
What do you mean we're out of pasta?
No, I had a situation where I ran out
of
salmon.
How much do you really eat?
Yeah, I had a situation. I ran out of salmon. It was like crucial for an event. And I said, okay, so my manager jumped in the car, ran to Albertsons and bought me three sides of salmon. I mean, that happens. Mm. Not, but thank goodness, not very often, but it happens.
It was a month ago that I was at a Chinese buffet and they ran out of bean sprouts. Mm-hmm. How do you run out of bean sprouts? How do you not know that that is like, that's a staple, you know? Yeah.
Inventory is an extremely delicate and important thing. And I mean, I do my inventory and I do all my ordering. And I call myself the supplier something, which I'm not going to say on NPR, but it's like I use so many different suppliers and I use them to my advantage. And I never take anyone for, you know, I never take anyone for granted because one week they're going to tell me it's this much and then the next week in comes the bill and it's something else. They don't, you know, you really have to work hard on this. And that's something I know they teach you guys.
Right.
And that's very important. Know your suppliers, know your PARs. Know what you need and make sure that you're always 3 days ahead.
And have a good relationship also with your supplier because you don't want them to bring you rotten apples.
A good rapport. Nice rapport. I think what's really good, well, it's important to realize about the program. It's, I mean, we've all taken, no matter what major you have, like, you know, kinesiology or whatever, we all take a basic in math, right? So you need to know some kind of math. In our school, what I've learned is, you know, even if you're don't aspiring to be a chef or own your own restaurant or work, I mean, if you just want to learn how to bake a nice wedding cake and you want to do it for your daughter's quinceañera or for someone's wedding or whatever, I mean, you don't, it's not like 1 foot in and we suck you in and, oh, you're not leaving until you graduate. I mean, I think what's important is that people can
just want your money.
Right. I think what's really important is that people can show up to the facilities and take a course in this and take a course in that and not have to really major in anything, but just to learn, because something so simple like costing, for, you know, learning your waste costs and things like that.
All right, I got a test question for you. How much does a pinch weigh?
How big are your fingers? Okay. Gotta be quick.
There you go. One of the things that I noted about you is that you went in as a personal trainer and you're coming out as a chef, and those two actually work hand in hand.
Oh, they do.
Big time, because now that you're a personal, when you become that personal trainer, you'll also know how to do things in terms of healthy eating.
Oh, yeah, counting your calories and salted butter, unsalted butter, olive oil as opposed to extra virgin olive oil, or, you know, the cooking temperatures and calories and everything. Like, everything really, I mean, two things that you'll never have a need for or will never lose is, people always need to be fed and people always need to be fixed. So those are pretty good.
That's very true. Welcome to America.
Right?
So let me ask you, as time's running down, is so interesting. Each one of you probably has a specialty that you like in terms of cooking something. So let me ask first, Marlene, what's your favorite thing?
Well, in this class that I just got into, I just learned how to temper chocolate.
Oh.
It was very interesting because I did not know how to do it. You know, everybody starts somewhere. So as soon as, you know, I got into this class, I learned how to temper it and don't
well,
put
I don't
butter,
even know what
put,
that means, temperate.
Well, how to have it melted at a good consistency and not burnt.
Ah, okay.
So you can work with it.
You have to keep it at a certain temperature.
Right. Mm.
And constantly move it, constantly. Mm-hmm.
Hector, how about you?
What's the question again?
Well, what's your favorite thing to cook?
My favorite
like
thing.
Like me, I like to make chilies en nogada.
Yeah.
Once a year, it only takes me 3 months to make it.
My favorite, personal favorite, I did this probably about 8 years ago, and I've used it ever since. I just like getting pure vanilla ice cream, and I mix all kinds of berries, blueberries, blackberries, and I reduce down some balsamic vinegar into like a fudge. And when I toss it in with some sugar, and I candied my mint, and it's so simple, and it's healthy. And I mean, you have a little bit of sugar up from that, but it's like unsweetened vanilla ice cream. And I think it's so clean and beautiful and simple and healthy
and rich.
And that's I've been doing that for like 8 years just for my daughter. I've been doing that, and it was just something fun. And I think it's, to me, that's my favorite.
Okay, Denise, it's your turn. What is your favorite?
I mean, I specialize in eating. That is why I enjoy what I do. I enjoy dining. So, to be honest, I specialize in eating. I love to eat. But if I'm going to cook a meal for somebody, I think simple is the best way, and it comes with your ingredients. So, if you came to my house, I would make you probably just a simple whole roasted chicken, roasted vegetables. I like it to keep it clean, simple. And if you want it light, you can, but I like butter, so.
Well, you know, I think you mentioned something, too, is that a lot of people don't understand the concept of dining. Mm. You know, they just gobble and, you know, next and so on. And dining is more like, how would you say it? It's like a dance.
It's like a dance.
Oh, there we go. Okay, and the other thing I want to say here, too, is I know there's questions, we're running out of time. But you have something, you have lunch every day or 2 days a week?
Okay. So we are ending our summer semester. So we have two lunch services left. So we have next week that we're still serving lunch on Tuesday and Thursday. We have two seatings, 11:30 and 12. And then we'll be concluding our summer session. We do have one last chef's dinner, which is our evening dinner, which starts at, we have a 6:30 seating and a 7 p.m. seating on July 26th. And then we will be closed for the summer, and then we'll start again in our restaurants in September.
And how many chef's dinners do you normally have during the season, about 6 or 7?
Yes. Obviously, summer is a little bit shorter, so we had in total, I believe, 5. And fall semester and spring semesters, they stretch out a little longer, so we may have about 7 to 8, but they're every other Friday.
Okay, and I have one other question for you, and then we can ask them. Do you have any ghosts in your kitchen?
No. No ghosts.
We actually should be doing a couple more shows with y'all, because this
we
is really fascinating.
Yeah.
We're thinking of that. Why not? All of you are invited back to this show. That's just Mikasa Tsukasa.
Thank you.
Because there's so
that.
Much to talk about.
Well, thanks very much to Chef Keeley, to Chef Denise, and to the two students, Marlene and Hector. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
And if you're looking for all of that information concerning the culinary arts program at the El Paso Community College, come to our website at ktep.org. Click on the Listen Live button. That'll take you also to the archive section of El Paso Primetime, where you'll find this program and that information. Thanks for listening to El Paso Primetime.